My God is real. He's real in my soul. For he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Amen. He's real. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said it like this, said, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. But I thought about that, and I'd rather say it like this, God said it, and that settles it. And we need to believe it. If it's in the Word of God, it's right. God is real. God never lies. God is not a man that he should lie. Not one person. Not two persons, and not three persons, they should lie. God is a what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit. That's what we're trying to do. Truth. Spirit and truth. You know who taught that lesson in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. I love Jesus tonight. One thing that Jesus does so well is teach. He will teach through the power of the Holy Ghost, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad to know that we can have the great teacher in us. When we open the Bible and we start reading the Word of God, we're not alone. Amen. We're not alone. We have a teacher with us. God did not leave us here to try to figure it all out by ourselves. When I went to school, there were some things I didn't understand, and I would raise my hand and the teacher would explain it, and I still couldn't understand it. And I would act like I would understand because I didn't want everybody to look at me silly, like I was dumb or something. So when I would fail the class, then she'd say, "Why didn't you say something?" I said, "I did." "Well, didn't you hear me explain it?" "Yes, ma'am." "Well, why did you make a bad grade?" "I didn't understand it." "Well, I explained it to you." "I know." I'm glad Jesus is patient with us. When we don't understand, he'll give us a chance to just try it again. And if we don't understand, he knows we don't understand. And he will take us again through the same passage and say, "Let me show you in another way. Let me help you to see." Maybe it'll be through a testimony or a song. Or an experience. Or maybe some difficult thing that we find ourselves going through and we just start praying and suddenly it dawns on us. What I've been trying to learn was there all the time. I was asking God what he wanted me to speak on tonight. And he very distinctly told me Acts 19. And I said, "Is that you, God?" Because I had another scripture in mind. And I tried to go to the other scripture, and the Lord said, "There's no small stir about that way." And I didn't know where that scripture was. I forgot where it was. So I asked Brother Rick to find that scripture for me because something coming from God. Because I was over here in the book of Hebrews getting a message up. He couldn't find it. Been teaching him 7 or 8 years. He couldn't find the scripture. I went to Brother Bradley. "Where's that scripture? There's no small stir about that way." He said, "I'll go see Brother Joe." What? He did. Yeah, he said it was in Acts. Brother Joe sent word back. It's in Acts 19. That's what God said, Acts 19. So why don't we stay with God tonight? I'll just tell you right now, the subject tonight is there's no small stir about this way. In other words, there is a stir going on about the way that we're proclaiming. I'm talking about the way. Not talking about just any old way. I'm talking about the way of God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so many people are claiming to know who the Father is and they won't learn the way. Praise God. Acts 19. Let's find out about this way. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And let's keep in mind here, already we have heard through this passage of Scripture what most religions that we associate or we hear for ourselves teaching and proclaiming in various denominations. We have already read right here what Muslims say it takes in order to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess in your heart. Nothing wrong with any of that. But there's a lot more of the Word of God for us to consider than just a few things we want it to say for us. There are more things in the Word of God than a few words we might pick out that make us feel good. There is a way that seems right. And then there is a way that is right. It seems right that all these churches should be all right. It seems right that all these people preaching with all these nice suits on, with all these beautiful Bibles and going to all these beautiful church buildings, it seems right that they should go to these places and talk about God and take up offerings and sing in the choir and have a good time going to church and saying everything is better now since I have confessed and believed. It seems right, especially since so many are doing it that way. It seems like it should be right. But there's a way that is right, and there's no small stir about that way. Amen. And when you start speaking it, when you start proclaiming it, amen, when people start noticing it, that you're one of them, you better be able to take the heat. Because you're going to find yourself, Sister Cheryl, you're going to find yourself after tonight disappointed in people that you thought would never, ever walk away from you. How many of you are here tonight and you can testify just by raising your hand? There are people in my family and people that are very close to me that don't understand me and they think I'm off of the deep end and they don't want anything to do with this. Would you raise your hand? And I suppose many of them go to church somewhere and believe in God. Did you notice when you first received the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name, suddenly everybody that you knew more about God than you did? They never had told you before, but now they wanted to teach you about the Godhead and teach you that you don't have to do it this way. And you don't have to go that way, and you don't have to listen to them, and you don't have to go to that church. And you're brainwashed, and you've gone off the deep end, and they're just a bunch of holy roller fanatics anyhow. Now, if you'd have just been like you were and stayed like that for a while, they would have left you alone. Why did you have to get mixed up with that way? There are a lot of churches you could go to. Why did you go to that one? Don't you know those people over there act strange sometimes? It seems they have no order. They go to church. And they get up and they clap their hands. And they act so happy sometimes. And they sing songs and everybody just jumps up and down. And they say things that nobody can understand sometimes. Well, in our church, we believe in giving reverence to God. I was talking to a dear lady some time ago and I asked her where she went to church. She told me she was baptized a certain way when she was an infant. And I said, but do you go to church? She said, no, I don't, but I'll never change my religion. I said, how long has it been, if you don't mind telling me, since you've been to Mass? She said, I guess when I was an infant. I said, would you consider what I have to say about the Word of God? She said, no. She said, I'm what I am and I'll never change. You can take my kids to church, but I won't go because I'm happy since I'm what I am. Well, God will have to deal with that one, because when they get to that point with me, I'll go on to the next city that I may preach there also. There are too many people that want God for me to waste all my time to those who don't. If they start saying, I don't want to know the truth, I don't want to hear the truth, I'm happy like I am, let me find somebody that says, tell me something that I need to know. Tell me something, even if it hurts me, that will change my life and cause me to be right with God no matter what anybody thinks. And I believe we've got people here tonight who came to a point in your life when you said, I don't care what it takes, I want to know God in truth, and I don't want to be wrong, I want to be right, because we're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with salvation. We're dealing with salvation for your soul. I'll tell you right now, if anybody could take the Word of God in all sincerity and prove to me that there's any other way besides the way that I'm proclaiming to be the way, I would consider it. I would look at it. I would look at it and I would sincerely search the Scriptures, because that's what I did in order to find this way. And I want to tell you, if you can find one place in the Bible where anybody was told to be baptized or anybody was ever baptized in any other way other than Jesus' name, I'll give you my new car sitting out on the parking lot. Anybody need a car? Don't you run over there to Matthew 28:19 and try to prove that's not Jesus' name. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to get my car with that one. If somebody takes you in the water and says, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and puts you under and brings you out, they lied to you. They didn't baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The only way you can be baptized in the name is to do it in the name. When I say that, if you're here and you don't believe that, there's no small stir going on inside of you right now. They stoned Paul and left him for dead for saying things like this. They didn't want him to say stuff like this. I mean, you know, he was all right for a while. He was persecuting those Jesus' name people. He was doing all he could to stop this Jesus stuff from spreading. But suddenly he went wrong. Suddenly he became one of them. And now the stones were coming in his direction. But he didn't get his knowledge just from anybody. It wasn't just somebody said, let me have a little argument with you. Let me prove something to you. It wasn't that. It wasn't somebody said, let me sit down and reason with you and tell you a few things. Amen. This man was going to be mightily used of God, and God himself shined a light and spoke with authority to this man. and caused him to look up and say, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the answer came to his astonishment. And we talk about it about every time we come around here. The Lord said, "I am who?" Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah talked about the everlasting Father. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'm not here to prove this tonight. Don't have to prove anything. I'm just trying to stir up something inside of somebody that may not be too sure about where you stand. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be called upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's Jesus. The mighty God is Jesus. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. You know that song? It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Now you sing that in some places, and they're going to throw some stones or throw you out. But even the Bible says, That the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Amen. Wrote a song about that one time. It says, "In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth." And I was in the middle of singing it, and my dad stopped me and said, wait a minute. It doesn't say that. He said, "It says, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I said, "Yeah, but Dad, that doesn't rhyme. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God." It doesn't have a beat to it. In Him dwelleth the fullness of... And he stopped me again. He said, now how can the fullness of God be in Jesus? I said, Jesus said, "I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And if the Father's in you, that's the fullness of God." He said, "Go ahead and sing it. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. And ye are complete in Him." She can sing it with me. "In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. And ye are complete in Him." Hallelujah. "In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. And ye are complete in Him." It feels good in here tonight. So when you get in God through Jesus Christ, which no man can come to the Father except through Jesus, when I get in God through Jesus Christ, I'm in the fullness of God. That means, like Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Where is Jesus? Where is He not? You know, if you get down on your knees and pray right now for a brother or a sister in South Africa somewhere, the God you're praying to that's here with you right now is there, and if He's there, you're there in your prayer. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait for the message to get over there someday in the future. You don't have to send it by the U.S. Post Office, thank God. The moment you say the words, God is there to touch that life of your brother and your sister. Wherever I am, He's not just up there building mansions for us. It doesn't take God that long to build mansions. I'm not against people who see only that part of it, but the Word of God is bigger than what most of us see. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And He takes a few steps, goes a little bit further, and finds Himself hanging on a tree, preparing a place that we would not be able to receive, we would not be able to be a part of it, had it not been for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You could forget about mansions being built. You can forget about any heaven that you would ever get to see if it hadn't been for Him going to that place. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let me tell you something else. The Word of God says that we are made to sit in heavenly places with Him. Tonight. Because just as your prayer is heard on the other side of the world. Amen. Wherever you are with Him. You're wherever He is. Even if you don't understand, even if I don't understand. Glory. There's no small stir about that way. We talk about people getting stirred up because of the truth. There's a greater stirring going on when we preach it in the spiritual realm. Oh yeah, devils rise up. Idiot spirits get, you know, crazy. And talk to your mother-in-law. And your kids. Your neighbors and your boss. Saying all kinds of crazy things to you. And they get stirred up. They can't do it that way. Your wife will say something to you on the way to church. Or your husband will bark at you. Yeah, just... Some of the greatest fights that's ever been had between families has been on the way to church. Especially if they've just been praying and everything's getting worked out and they know they're going to have a good service and they got a good preacher coming and everything's so good and they've been working all day and looking forward to that service, get in the car, shut the door, start the motor, take off and say, "Now what was that you were talking about? I don't agree with that. I don't think we should discuss it anymore. You know what it does to me when you speak like that to me? Why do we even talk about these things? What gets into you anyhow? Well, you're the one that started it. No, you started it." And they get to church and they get out of the car and walk inside. Nobody's seen them yet. They're just walking through the hall. And then they see one of the brothers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to be in church tonight. Pass by Bishop Geddes' office. "How you doing?" "Just fine, Brother Geddes." And he can tell, you know. He can tell. Every time I come in here, I sit and I watch. There's some of them that say, "Just fine, Pastor, just fine." Oh, and they can't wait to just shake his hand and hug him. And there's others say, "Fine." No. If you said fine and walked on, it doesn't mean you've had a fight. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we all have things to do, and you know, we don't want to bother the pastor too much. But you can always tell. You can always tell there's something. You know, sometimes you can always tell that there's something. Hallelujah. I've been with people in other places. Let me get out of this place and go to another place. I've been with people in other places. Stand at the door, shake hands with folks as they come into the church, and you can tell if they've been fighting. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, "I'm so mad at my daughter." She said, and she said a bunch of cuss words to me when she said this. She said, "She's a blank, and she's a beep, and she's a this, and she's a that." And she went on and on and on. She said, "If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I think I'd kill her." A lot of people don't understand much about this Holy Ghost. But I was somewhere else, and I stand at the door shaking hands with people. And you can tell by the handshake sometimes. Some of them shake hands like they really care about you. Praise the Lord. There's others, and they just kind of put their hand in your hand, and it feels like a dead fish. There's others, grab my little hand, and go... But the ones that really bother me are the ones I reach out my hand and they go, Praise the Lord. I walked out the door one night after a really good hot service. Everybody shouting praise God, speaking in tongues, running the aisles, rolling in the floor, and having a big time. You know, one of those kinds of services causes everybody that doesn't see it our way to leave. And there was a man standing at the door. He looked at me and he said, "Can't keep your mouth shut, can you?" It wasn't you. I said, "What? What'd that say?" He said, "You know what you said." Thought back. All I said was, "Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Or either I said, "You need to be baptized in Jesus' name." Or either I said, "There's no other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." That's all. I thought back, what all did I say? And it was all Jesus, 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 Jesus. He said, "You can't keep your mouth shut, can you?" And I finally said, "No, I can't. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's understanding open in the name of Jesus. There's restoration and reconciliation through the name of Jesus. There's everything that you can need and ever want in the name of Jesus. There's Holy Ghost power to set you free from addiction, from anything that has you oppressed, depressed, or down and out. God, through the power of the name of Jesus, will bring you out of your captivity. He will lift you up, establish you again, make a way when there seems to be no way. Through Jesus' name." I've never heard anybody just about to have a car wreck say, "In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." And that big back trailer truck is coming your direction and you got your hands on the wheel. What do you say? Yeah. Ain't no time to argue theology then. Well, if that's serious enough to call on the name of Jesus, why shouldn't we do it when we get baptized? Because we're talking about a matter of life and death. We're talking about a crucial eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Hallelujah. There's no small stir about that way. You get baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to be different from now on. But that's all right, because there's power in the name of Jesus. No wonder Jesus said, "I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Because you're going to lose some friends, but you got Jesus. Jesus said, "I'll be your doctor if you need me. I'll be your lawyer. I'll be your sister. I'll be your brother. I'll be your father. I'll be your mother. I'll be with you always. Lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Hallelujah. 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 Worship Him tonight. He's so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. You people act like you're stirred up tonight. There's no small stir about this way. Hallelujah. Put us in a jailhouse and the jail falls apart. Amen. Put us in the lion's den and the lions get lockjaw. Put us in the fire and air conditioner hadn't even been invented yet, and yet the temperature goes down, down, down. Amen. Put us on the banks of the
of the Red Sea on the sea and have the enemy on your trail. Doesn't matter. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. It's a lot better to let God open up the waters than to go back to the way it used to be. It may look impossible up ahead, but it's better than what you came out of. I'd rather take a chance with Jesus than to go back to what I know I was before. Hallelujah. The world didn't have anything back there that I need now. Why should I go back to what was there? There was no fulfillment. There was no satisfaction. There was nothing that would last back there. But when I found Jesus, I found somebody to face my trials with me. I found somebody to go through my trouble with me. I found somebody that would make a way to the other side for me. I don't know what's up ahead, but I don't want to go back. And I know Jesus is with me, and that's all that matters. Woo! So the ones that get stirred up say, so what are you going to do after you do this thing that you don't really have to do? Everybody knows you don't have to do that. You can be seated just a second. 2 seconds. 3 seconds. Brother Rick told me to turn the lights out when I leave. Because I say that to him all the time. Hallelujah. You don't have to do it that way. One preacher looked me in the eye and said, listen, there's nothing wrong with getting baptized in Jesus' name. Well, how do you want to preach it? Pastored a big church. Big church. Or he called it a big church. They went there and they called it church. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. But baptism is only an ordinance. Well, if it's only an ordinance, why even fool with it anyhow? If baptism is not any more important than just an acceptance of, yes, you're included in our group, or yes, you can have fellowship with us, and you can do it, but it doesn't really matter, then what did God mean when He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? What did He mean by that? And what was Peter talking about when he answered the question, what shall we do? When he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And why did Paul go to the trouble in the 19th chapter of Acts to say to these believers who believed the teaching of John the Baptist concerning the one that would be coming, who would be mightier? He was talking of Jesus, believing on Jesus Christ, and baptized them into repentance. And these were believers, sincere believers. Why would Paul go to the trouble of saying, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And how were you baptized? And why go to the trouble after they give him their story of taking them out into the water and baptizing them over again if it's just an ordinance and it doesn't matter? Why is that even in the Bible? And why did Peter command Cornelius and his household? In the 10th chapter of Acts, it doesn't say he asked them to do this. It didn't say he suggested that they should do this. He didn't say you can if you want to. It says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So you know what I have concluded? Somebody's telling something that ain't true. They want it to sound good. You know, it always goes back to the root of all evil. The bigger you get your congregation, the more money you put in your bank account. And that love of money has caused many a people who would accept the truth to deny the name of Jesus. And they have fixed it so it's hard to really have a true church today. If you want to have a true church and want to do it the way the apostles did it, you're just about going to have to go back to being thought of as off-brand cult, other side of the track, deadbeat, no good, ill thought of, fanatic holy rollers that nobody wants anything to do with. And if you do it the way the world recognizes churches, you're going to have to set up a group of people and hire the preacher and tell the preacher what he can preach. And a lot of preachers are willing to do that because they can't make a living at anything. So they meet with the board and they say, "What would you have me to do?" And the board looks at the preacher and says, "Well, we've been around here for 40 years serving on this board. We've seen them come and go. And we're going to take it to a vote. And if you qualify, we'll see if you can maybe stay with us a couple of years. Who knows, maybe longer. So what do you believe, preacher?" And he's sitting there in the hot spot because this church has 5,000 members. All these people driving these Cadillacs. Got this board and dignitaries in these nice big suits and thick glasses down on the end of their noses looking at him. "What do you believe, preacher?" And in his heart, he may be thinking, "You know, I'd like to tell them what I really believe, but I better tell them what they want to hear. And what's that all about? Because I got a wife and I got kids to support, and I got, I got to pay these bills, and I got this car, and I got this house, and I got all these credit cards maxed out, and I got all this on me, and all these credit collectors calling me, and I got to have a job. Got to have a job." So the answer comes from the preacher. "So what do you want the preacher to preach?" And usually it comes back, "Well, we like to hear about love." "There's nothing wrong with love. Love's good. Just preach love, preacher." "Well, I can do that. I'll preach love." "All right, that's good. And we don't want any doctrine preached here. No doctrine." "Oh, you don't want any doctrine. Oh, no problem there. Hey, we like you already. No love. I mean, preach love and no doctrine. And we control the money." He squirms a little, but okay. They take it to a vote. Chairman of the board gets up. "Ladies and gentlemen, we have brought before you tonight a minister who has passed our approval. We believe he's a true man of God. He will preach it the way it needs to be preached in our assembly. Praise God. We have sought far and wide looking for a man of God who will preach the love of God to our congregation without fear or favor. And you know that's what we need. And so as we bring this name before you, if you're looking for love and understanding and goodwill and no doctrine, let's take it to a vote." And naturally he slides in 100%. "Ooh, holy, holy, holy God in three persons, blessed Trinity." Sha-na-na-na-na-na. And they tell him, "Don't you preach doctrine," and they sing doctrine that's not even of God right out of their hymnals. False doctrine. "Don't you preach doctrine." You know why I don't want you to preach doctrine? It might be true stuff. When you start preaching the truth, you get kicked out as a pastor sometimes. When you start speaking the truth, you better make sure you got everything intact. You got everything secure. Bishop Geddes, you better not get up here and tell that boy to put his shoes on unless you know where you stand. You better not look those people in the eyes and say, "Now, where were you last week?" And I thought you went over there, and I was here, and I didn't know where you was. Do that some places, and that'd be a board meeting right after church. Anyway, I don't mean to go on and on. My Lord, have mercy. Is this Sunday morning, and we start at 10 o'clock? There's no small stir. No small stir. You know what the way is? It's Jesus' way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. I love that tune. I love those words. That's one of my favorite songs. But when I get to the part that I don't like, I used to go to these meetings, and I'd always just stand there and go, Well, they all sung real loud, stuff I didn't see. So I got to where when I'm with them now, I sing, God in Christ Jesus, blessed deity. And they look at me. Go on, sing it with me. God in Christ Jesus, blessed deity. Sing it again. God in Christ Jesus, blessed deity. Hallelujah. And you go to some of these places with your friends and visit their church and sing it real loud like that, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's no small stir about that way. Let us all stand tonight and praise God together. Hallelujah. 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 But as we get the people stirred up, we've got God stirred up and the angels stirred up. And the people of God stirred up. The armies of the Lord are on the march. And it's all right for people to get stirred up. Because sometimes somebody will get stirred. Somebody will be moved as the gospel goes forth. And somebody's going to come from Pennsylvania and say, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. Glory. Hallelujah. God's so good. God's so good. Amen. So, Sister Cheryl, amen. You and the sisters with you there, start making your way up this way, and there'll be some ladies in the church here who will assist you. And I'm going to turn this portion of the service over to Bishop Geddes to do whatever he feels. Amen.
And prepare the candidate for baptism, please. Thank God for the wonderful words of life that came to us this afternoon. Thank God for the sisters that have made up in their minds. You want to take the Lord on with water baptism in Jesus' name. And that's beautiful spirit today.